Hi, and welcome to the Virtual Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Ring, and I'm so glad you're here. In the Virtual Classroom, I invite virtual teachers from across the country to sit down and talk to all of us about what it's like to be a virtual teacher. It is my hope that through our conversations, we can educate, collaborate, and of course, connect to build a tribe of virtual teachers. Thanks again so much for being here. Oh man, guys, I'm so glad you're here and happy Friday or whatever day it is when you're listening to this. Today on the podcast, I'm having my special friend, Jennifer Ratzlaff. I'm so excited. She was not my first partner in crime, but my second one while at OVCA. And we just really connected on a level that I haven't really experienced with anybody else. No offense. It's just, I haven't. She is a wonderful person and a kind soul and not afraid to be a lifelong learner. She is not even 60 yet, but she's getting close. But she is not afraid to try new things and give it a shot and also evaluate her own self. She gives out lots of great advice to all of us to help us be better teachers. And I can't wait to share them with you. So, without further ado, here's Jennifer Ratzlaff. Because this is good stuff. So tell me about, so you have these, you have this monkey and you have this rhino. I didn't start the recording. Yeah, they're your mascots. So can you tell me more about them again? Sorry, I didn't have the recording going.
Oh, that's okay. So at the beginning of the year, because we're, you know, wild about learning, I bought these two animals and I had the kids name them. And so they named the monkey Marvin. And they named the rhino Roxy. So it's Rhino, Roxy, the reading rhino, and Marvin, the monkey math. And you can see his little bandana, and it says that on the bandanas.
I love that. So so
bandana says Marvin, the monkey, the math monkey.
So you said their names are being entered in each time, like each time they enter a Class Connect, or?
Yes, if they come to Class Connect, then they get their name in a box. Then at the end of the year, I will draw two names out, and hopefully by state testing. And if they're not at my state testing, I can get the names. I can get them to whoever or mail them to them, but they get to win them. And I mean, my kids are always like, when they see them again, that's why I have them hanging here with my jungle. It has monkey math and the little bird and all of that. But I had to... I want these sitting right on my shoulders so they can see that they are their prizes. And sometimes
I love that.
One little girl, she says, when are you drawing? When are you drawing all year long? She asked me, when are you drawing?
She clearly doesn't remember. All right. Well, again. So again, welcome Jennifer to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. For our listeners, would you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm Jennifer Ratzlaff. This is my 19th year teaching and my fourth year at OVCA. I'll be entering my fifth year soon, hopefully. I have loved teaching. I decided to become a teacher when I was in fifth grade. Took me a long time to get there. Had another life. I was a manager for Hobby Lobby for 13 years. And so it took a while. But it was always my passion to reach kids and to teach children, and especially in math. I love numbers. I love math. My son is going to school right now to become an accountant. It just runs in our blood, numbers, numbers, numbers. And once I got here, I just fell in love with the fact that you can reach children at a higher level. I have a master's in elementary ed. I have a bachelor's in special ed.
I love that. And
I love your mic, by the way.
Well, thanks. It's a podcast mic. It's a real mic. A real one.
Real professional there.
Real. It's real. We're real over here. Okay. So Jennifer, you were a Hobby Lobby manager for a long time, and then you came to teaching. I know with, for a fact during your interview when you talked to Celeste about coming and working here at OVCA, that you said you wouldn't work for any other school but OVCA. Why is that?
We were giving our grandson to raise when he entered the ninth grade. And because of his history with school, I told my husband that I would not be going up to the school every day because he gets in trouble. I'm going to find an online school. I'm a licensed teacher. I can teach him. I found OVCA. This child came to us reading below first grade. And in 1 year's time, he was reading upper third, fourth grade level. He learned more in his 1 year, and he'll even tell you, the first year of OVCA than he had learned any other time. And I turned to my husband. I said, now this is a school I want to work for. There's no politics. They're out for the kids. Children are number one.
I love that. And I remember you coming. I actually remember being nervous because this was when you joined OVCA, it was my second year at OVCA. I did apply to be a lead teacher at that time, a lead teacher at that time, just because I knew that was something I wanted to do. And so Celeste, our principal, was like, I'm going to need you to be the leader of the third grade team. And she told me about you and how you're not 60 yet. And we should probably tell our listeners about that, that story. But I remember being extremely nervous. And what was it like coming into our world after being a Hobby Lobby manager and then knowing that you want to be a teacher? What was that first year like?
Well, it's a lot different than brick and mortar. They asked me if I knew about computers. Now, mind you, I'm not 60 yet, but I am pretty old. And so computers wasn't a thing in my life. I remember in high school having a friend that said he was going to study computers, and half the class fell on the floor laughing at him. Because we were like, what are you going to do? Move to New York so you can have a computer? Never did we dream they would be in the classroom. So when I came in and you could sit down and type like crazy, by the time I would get to the child's name, you already had them where they're supposed to go. And I was like, I'd never do this. And now I see new people coming in to teach. And they're looking at me like, how do you do that? And I'm like, Kimberly Ring. I don't know. She taught me well. You get to where you just learn it. And every day I learn new things I can do. This last weekend, I combined several Excels into one document, one Excel document. I was able to filter what I needed really fast, color coded it. And within 15 minutes, I had all the data I needed from three of the third grade teachers all in one thing so that I could see what we needed to teach this year. And it was like, I shocked myself.
And I love that because I love that it's kind of come full circle that when you joined, I was the leader of third grade and now you're the leader of third grade. And I love that about you. And I love that you're always willing to learn. Now, I know you love math and math is like a huge thing right now across the country. What's your favorite teaching go-to? What's your secret sauce, Jennifer? What do you do with your kids that you think is getting the most bang for your buck?
Excitement, excitement, and more excitement. If you get excited, kids will get excited. My little brother, one time with our first two nephews, he would say, ooh, peanut butter and jelly. And they would go, ooh, and he'd go, yum, spinach, you know? And they'd go, yum, spinach. That he had the excitement. You pass it on to the kids. The kids will they automatically get excited if you're excited.
So what does that look like in your classroom? Like on a day-to-day, what's your excitement? How do kids feel your excitement about math in your class?
I don't want to do it out loud, but I just go, hello, it's math time. Hello, we get to do math today and get forward to fractions. Fractions, oh no. And I also have my kid voice, you know, like I'll say, 2/4 is equal to 1/2. Yes, you are correct. I have my own show. and they're over there in the chat box trying to type as fast as they can. Or I'll turn the mic on for all of them. And I'll say, okay, 1, 2, 3, everybody answer. And bah, it's crazy. And you get a headache. But they love it.
That's so good. I always love, back in the day, we used to only have like whole groups like twice a day and all of fourth grade was invited to come. So you would teach like the morning and I would teach the afternoon or something like that. But we're both in there and I always loved watching you teach. And because of your level of excitement, I remember thinking, you might not know how to use an Excel, but I don't know how to get that excited. Like,
I dress up too, if you remember.
I do. Yeah. I remember.
I don't do it as often, but I have the coolest Wonder Woman mask, one of those foam ones that go over your whole head. And it was scary at first for the kids when I put it on. And I go, I wonder, what are we doing today? You know? And then I have to take it off because you can't breathe under the thing very well. Just different things like that. Anything to catch them off guard.
Have you played with Manicam yet?
I tried. I could not get it to work for me. I want to get that thing floating around on my head.
Yes.
That would be the coolest thing ever.
Well, I was thinking you could put on a Wonder Woman mask and therefore it's not really on your head, but it's the kids
can
see it.
Or I can breathe with it on me.
Right. Exactly. So I'll have to show you.
Yeah, I'll have to play some more with it.
Yeah.
But I did do the thing you sent me today. The
Edgelastic. I don't know how I pronounce it. That's good.
Yeah, I don't either, but I love it. I'm setting up my class right now. Right before this meeting.
That's really good because I like it too. I love that it has the passages on the left-hand side and the questions on the right-hand side for reading anyway, because that's what the state test will be like. So,
and the math looks the same too. It has it's just laid out like the state test. I love that.
I wish that we actually owned it so that way we could have all of the stuff with it, like the extra stuff, but I mean it's basic form is good, so I'm appreciative of it.
Do you put your children, do you set up your classes and then just assign it to them?
Yeah, so
in your class,
so we actually have one account for all of fourth grade, and so that way I can just assign the one TGA to the entire fourth grade, but we have the different classes in there, so
okay.
Like all of Reeves and then all of Hopkins and are in there, and then mine are in there. So that way it's all there. We can all look at each other's.
Well, I even thought it would be a good just to practice some math stuff, the questions to let them just go through, at the end of like this fraction unit, say, hey guys, today I just want to see what y'all know.
Yeah.
We're going to do this.
Absolutely. What we do is we just change the password when we don't want them in it. We'll reset their password to something real simple. Like I think the first one was like OVCA. The next one was like 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I think today's was like TGA quarter Q3. Just so that way, because it's not like USA test prep where there's just stuff that they can go in and do anytime. And I don't want them in there to see the TGA before class connects. So we just give out their password during the class connect time. So that way they can't get in it, obviously. But yeah, for sure. I also love that there is a bank in there. There's a bank of questions, but you can your own. So
yes,
like I went and grabbed stories from readworks.org or whatever, and then created my own questions or use their questions. But I hate how some other sites like USA Test Prep are like you're limited to what's there. You can't add anything else. So
and they don't have our standards quite right.
They don't. Like my 4-2-R-1 main idea, like it's in research. I found tons of questions in the research category, which is like 4.6 or something. I forget. But all my main idea questions are actually in that. So I'm like,
well, like the math, it was like fractions and they've got us doing decimals. And every time I find a decimal question, not in third grade.
And I'm wondering if that's because in fourth grade they are decimals is in fractions. So, I don't know if they're like just because I've noticed that some of the questions that we have in fourth grade are also in fifth and third. So I don't know if it has something to do with that. I don't know. Like, they clearly don't.
Think they don't have it right.
No, they clearly don't.
I just don't think they have it right. So I just go through.
They need like someone from every state that's like different, you know, like there's the common core. So that one person, every state that has common core doesn't need a representative, but those few states that have different standards should have like a representative that goes through them. So
has the OVCA ever been common core? I hope we don't ever do that.
No. Well, I think we were for like a couple of months, but not enough to implement it. And our standards are very common core written.
They really are. I find a lot of them the reason I ask is because teacher pay teacher. I buy a lot of my lessons now there, so I don't have to recreate the wheel. Learning.
Yes.
And so, but a lot of those are common core, but I can use so much of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd be helpful in that respect of just being able to quickly go find things for that standard because, there's not a lot of things that are made by other people across the country that are aligned to Oklahoma, like specifically. They're not trying to help us any. So, because why would they? And I don't blame them for not. So, anyway. So, Jennifer, I know you really, really value reaching every kid, and that's your passion. So what do you do? I know generally you're very excited about math, but are there things that you do that might be different than what other teachers might do where you're trying to ensure that you reach every kid?
Well, as we go through and we do lots of data digging, as you know, we are the data digging nuts here. As we dig this data, I have been just recently making videos, and I've learned something from you when I said I was making my videos. I take videos that are already on there and incorporate them in my video, but I give them like the one I did, let's see, what was I did one on money, and I did one on fractions, I believe. Yes, because those were our two that we messed up on the most. And I'm going to send them to those kids that did not get it on the test. So that way they can watch the videos. There's a little worksheet that they do at the end that they send to me, a little activity that they have to send to me when it's finished in their own handwriting. And they just send it on file share. That way I can say, okay, they've got this. I also opened up my office hours 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. They can come in, and like today I had a little boy come in. He goes, talk about main idea. He said, I still don't get main idea. I said, after I sent you all of those things, you still don't understand it. And his learning coach got on. She goes, he can do the little segments. He can't do the long ones. So I turned around. I found a long story. I found some comprehension questions. And at the bottom of that, I typed, what is the main idea? What are your supporting details? Do this and send it back to me, you know. And they get homework in brick and mortar. Sometimes they have to have a little extra homework.
And that's what, I haven't gotten too far into it, but I use Classcraft, and there's Quest in there. And it's kind of like gamifying. So they have like, there's like a warrior and a healer and a mage. And they go on quests, and mainly I use it right now to have like raise the accountability of their OLS work and attending CCs. So they take a screenshot of their OLS work, and then they type out a sentence for summarizing their class connects that they attend, which is helpful in that. But I've also thought about doing kind of like what you're saying, like make a quest for a main idea with those different activities and videos and things like that. So to help me and help them, and they get experience and goals.
And once we get the bank of them made, it's just a matter of when you have a student that doesn't get it,
right?
Send them that from that bank of videos.
Right.
And I think it's good that they hear my voice too, but I'm giving them to all third grade teachers to share, and some of them are making videos. You know, we're just kind of like getting our bank of questions and our bank of this knowledge out there a little more, because some kids, be honest, they get in Class Connects and they're paying attention to what's in the chat box, or they're giving me 45 smiley faces or the devil face that I cannot stand,
right?
Or they put pizza and I'm hungry, you know, whatever, and they're not paying attention. Where if they're sitting there with this video and there's nobody else in that video. You know, they listen a little better, I think.
Right. So how are you building this bank? Do you guys have like an Excel that you're just putting them all in, or what?
Well, since we just started, we haven't discussed that. We're going to discuss that Friday. It's on my list of Friday during our collaboration.
Just an idea out there. You can take it as you will, but you might make an Excel with a math tab and an ELA tab, and then list out the standards. And then just in each little Excel box, you just put in your link. So when they make a video, they can just go in to that
and put it. I will do that. I will have that made
like on SharePoint or something like that, you know, where you all can access it. So, all right.
I've been on SharePoint more this year than I have in the last 4 years.
Oh.
The first year, I didn't get on it maybe twice.
Yeah. We got a lot of things in there, don't we?
We have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. We got a lot of things.
It needs to be cleaned up a little bit on the left side, but other than that, it's pretty good.
Yeah. We could definitely make it a little more organized, but I don't know how to do that. But I'm sure someone knows how to do that. But it's serving its purpose right now. So
yes, it is.
It is serving
its
purpose.
We're adding good things in the elementary tabs.
Yes, absolutely. So knowing that you're a leader now of this team, what has been like the most rewarding thing that you maybe have done with this team? Or, and then maybe on the other side, what's been the biggest hiccup?
The biggest hiccup, I guess, would be all of us are different personalities. We have blues, greens. We don't have any oranges in our team, but we do have some golds. So we have a couple of golds, and sometimes I don't say we hit heads, but sometimes our opinions are different. But for the most part, we all get along very well as far as we know who to call for what. You know, they know that if they have a math question, they're going to holler at me. They have an ELA question, they're going to holler at Emily. But even this last week, I've seen our newbies starting to contribute more. One of them gave us a whole bunch of slides. As a matter of fact, she gave us all these backgrounds on the slides. And she said, I thought if we made this, you know, so she's starting to think, I'm a contributor too. I'm a part of this team. And I think just making us a team has been the most rewarding. And being able to share things that I knew was a difficult situation when I came, I can share it with them to make it easier on them. And then they get so excited. Oh, that would be so easy. I was like, I'm about easy.
Yeah.
It's easy.
So just a quick shout out to you. I remember your first lesson that you ever made. And you've grown. You've grown so much as an, you've always been a good teacher. And I'm sure you've grown in that regard as well. But just as far as like adapting to our world, the virtual world, I mean. So what contributed to that? How did you grow so much? In case there's someone out there listening who feels like this is not the world for them, or it's too much, you know, or what, you know, like what advice would you give to those people?
I hate using the word foo-foo, but in this world, we don't have time for a lot of foo-foo. We don't have time to my first lesson, I'll just have to share, people, it was awful. It was on place value. And I had where they were going to write it out in standard form, and then they was going to write it out in words, and they were going to, which is all good things. But that would have took 2 hours, and we have now 30 minutes, but then we had 45 minutes. There was no way those kids could have all got that done. So what I do now is that our page, when you come in, it has a rounding and maybe a place value and a word problem. And I pick 3 teachers of my students, and each day I rotate who gets to do what. And that way we can see, and they get to teach, and it's hilarious to watch them sound like me. Oh, this is not that difficult. You first have to look, especially in rounding, you first have to find, what am I rounding to? And they'll just sound just like me. And I have my mic off, and I am cracking up listening to them. And then they get an applause from everybody. And then they try to do more the next day, you know, the next time they're up. And it's fun. It's fun to watch them. And that's been my biggest thing, is to turn those reins of teaching over to the kids, because I like teaching and I like saying, this is how you do it. And now I've had to say, that's an interesting way. Does anybody else do it that way? And let them take over the class.
Which is funny that you said that, because I think that was my exact wording when you showed me this lesson. I was like, this is great. This is wonderful. Does anybody else what do we all think here? So,
I love that. Terrible.
No, I mean, for your first time ever, I thought it was beautiful. Like, I love that you took the initiative, because I wasn't expecting you. I was my second year. Like, I was still at new teacher training too. Like, I was there as well. And so I thought it was beautiful and great. And you've just grown so much as a person. And on my earlier, when I talked about you on episode one, I talked about how you became we both won Teacher of the Year, which was exciting. You were a new teacher and I was returning. And I remember how shocked and in disbelief you were. Could you tell us about that and like what happened after? Because I know you went on the district. So let's hear about that.
Very humbling. Number one, I see lots of awesome teachers in our organization, especially. And to think that I was voted Teacher of the Year new Teacher of the Year was just humbling. And then to go to the state as the district Teacher of the Year, I don't ever want to be voted Teacher of the Year again. I'll just say that, because that's not my thing. I do getting on the stage and shaking hands with the State Department guru superintendent, excuse me, I'll call her what she is. I was shaking in my shoes. And the other thing that was funny, and I was telling my family that had came, I was texting them before it started, and I said, look over here at all these teachers. I am the oldest and the fattest teacher here. This was my thinking. And I was thought, I can't get up there. The stairs are going to fall apart, you know, whatever. And here I can't even hardly walk, and I'm having to go across. It was hilarious. But there were larger people later. But there was nobody older. And I'm not even 60 yet. And there were all these little teeny bopper kids going up there. And I was like, heaven help me, this is not where I belong. But I was very honored. And because this is a crazy thing about me. I don't feel that you should be rewarded for just doing your job. And I feel like all I was doing is my job. And then I get this honor that's beyond, I'll always remember it.
I'm like the exact opposite, Jennifer. I think you should be rewarded for doing such a great job. And that's the orange in me. And for anyone that's listening, you're just like, why do we keep talking about colors? It's you should look it up. It's like, what was it called, Jennifer? Like the color test, or what was it?
Your personality color, I don't know. But yeah. Did you notice that both oranges are the ones that are doing the that new platform?
Yes, I did. I immediately responded back to Jen or to her and was like, both oranges. And she's like, God help the trainer.
I noticed that as soon as I knew you had gotten it, but I hadn't looked to see who else got it. And then when I saw her name, I was like, oh heavens, two oranges. Uh-huh.
Both oranges are doing the new row training. It's going to be phenomenal. So
I have been starting mine on the, whatever you call that we have, the K-12 learning program that we have to go through.
Yeah.
I've been watching those videos.
And are they good?
It's going to be a cool thing. Huh?
So, sorry, I misunderstood what you're saying. Go ahead. So you watched the recordings or the training for the new row? Is that what?
Yes.
Okay.
On K-12?
Yeah.
Are we supposed to do those? Because
I think so.
Okay. Today, and I thought, and there's so many questions when you guys get through, I know I'll learn it all, but I was like, another new program. And I was like, okay, Jennifer, you're not 60 yet.
We should probably tell people about this story. So, you tell the story about this not 60 yet, and I think I was not 30 yet at that time.
Yes, you weren't 30 yet then. You can't say that anymore. You got to answer.
I can't.
Right. I had a student that she wasn't responding one day. And I said, Hey, and I'll just say Sally Joe. Hey, Sally Joe, why don't you respond? She says, I'm not 9 yet. Has nothing to do with what we were talking about. What is 4 times 5? That's all I need to know. I'm not 9 yet. Okay, so then Kimberly and I got this joke going between us. She's not 30 yet, and I'm not 60 yet. She is 30 now, and I'm still not 60.
I am 30, so now I can't say it. But now that I have a kid, I get it. He was like, I'm not 5 yet. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, I'm not old enough to do that yet. And I'm like, oh. So Sally Joe made sense after Dustin said that. But she was wrong. She knew how to multiply.
Yes, she did.
She was old enough.
Wasn't willing to answer me.
Just didn't want to do it. But I was in the same class, like, because that was when we were both in the same classes together. So I was like, what? What does this have to do with anything? Okay, you're not 9 yet. So
we'll let you by. You don't have to answer.
Okay. I think at the time, like, most of our kids were 8, so I'm like, you're actually older than most of the other kids in here. So I think she had, like, anyway, I don't know, she just recently had a birthday, but whatever. All right, well, Jennifer, I know we're getting close to, like, time. I know I value your time, but I love talking to you, and I think you're an amazing person and have grown so much as an educator in your time of being here at OVCA. For anyone who's listening, I know you've talked about a lot of different things, but is there anything else that you would recommend to anyone, regardless of their age or technology ability? You know, what advice would you give to them, or what teaching strategy would you recommend when coming into this world to both new teachers and returning teachers? Just anything in there.
Don't beat yourself up.
We
all make mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. Don't think you know it all ever, because you'll fall flat on your face if you ever think you know everything. And learn from others. I will tell you something I'm doing right now in our team is once a week, I watch a video of all of my team teaching. I don't watch the whole recording, but I go through and I watch different parts. Some parts I'm going to use that. And I watch myself. That is hard to do because I'm my worst critic. But it's good to watch myself because I found out I say, all right, guys, 1,000 times in 30 seconds. All right, guys, we're going to do this. Oh, now we're going to do this, guys. Let's do this, guys. All right, let's do this. We're going to the next page. We're going to the next, you know, and I find now that a lot of it I can stop, but some of it I'm like, it's okay. That's me. That's who I am. So even though it's hard, I suggest you watch yourself, but watch others too, so that you know that, hey, I'm not so bad. And I can do better, but I'm not as bad as what I would think. And we have a great team. We have a great school. One thing I told Kimberly when I first started here is that there's not the backstabbing that there is in brick and mortar a lot of times. And I like that. I like that people are supportive in this business. And reach out. If you need help, don't be. I know that first year, Kimberly, you probably thought, they don't need to rehire her because she can't even type on an Excel. She can't do anything.
That was not my thought.
I called all the time, and I remember one time you said, didn't I just answer this? I said, yeah, but I can't remember what you said.
Well, I think it was because I was losing my own sanity. Like, I was like, am I having deja vu? Like, because I was a second year teacher too.
Emily has to say that to me now.
What?
Jennifer, we just went over this. I said, I know, but I can't remember. And then sometimes she has to ask me a question the fourth time, and I'm like, okay. And it's just good to know that we're a team and we're working together.
Absolutely. And I love that too. I love that you're able to watch. I'll go back to that. I love that you're able to watch your team's recordings and your own recordings, because that is something that you could not do in a traditional classroom. Like, if you wanted to go watch another teacher, you would have to have someone cover your class. Or do it during like your lunch if they are teaching, if they have, you know, whatever. I love that you can watch yourself too, because that's definitely not something you can do in a traditional classroom. You'd have to like get written permission from every parent that's okay for you to record your class. And it's just a lot of work. So I love that we're able to do that in our world. And then I love that, like what you said, we are a team. And one of the goals here, as I've mentioned before, and I'll mention again, is with this podcast, is to bridge the gap. Because yes, we are supportive. Yes, we're at each other's fingertips. We're able to talk anytime. But at the same time, we don't, yes, we can watch each other's recordings, but we can't get those snippets that you would just get if you walked into your partner's room and be like, oh, what's this? What are we doing here? So yeah. I love that you have given us all kind of sound advice that it's okay for us to watch a recording, even if it's just for a few minutes and just going to different parts. Because even though that was something I knew, it wasn't something that I knew, if that makes sense. Like, yes. Oh yeah, I could definitely do that. I don't have to watch the whole thing. I could just watch a little bit of it. So awesome. Well, Jennifer, thanks for hanging out with me for a little bit, but I do want to offer just one more thing. We talked about a lot. And for anyone who's listening to us, this is a normal conversation between me and Jennifer. But is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you think would be valuable to say?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay.
I will say, though, if you find you a good mentor, a good person, and you connect, as Kimberly and I connected, I don't know what I would have done my first year. I probably wouldn't have been here my second year. It looked a lot easier when I was as a learning coach for my grandson, watching that teacher, than it was when I actually got behind the wheel here, as you might say. But find you somebody that you trust and just talk it out. And when Kimberly left third grade, I was devastated, I will tell you. And a lot of other things happened. But Emily came in and we connected, and now we have Aaron and we're connecting. And so you just make new teams. I will never, ever forget my good old friend, Kimberly Ring. But I don't have to call her. Matter of fact, we have to make a point to talk to each other now, because she's in fourth grade and I'm in third. And, you know, third grade rocks and fourth grade flunks. I don't know.
We don't have the dang RSA law. Okay. That's what pushed me out. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't. So I don't know how you were still doing it, because no.
I just I'm learning to be tough. That took some doing, to not be mean, but be tough and let them know. And I remember you telling me one time, they need to take responsibility for themselves. Not just the students, but the learning coaches. They need to be responsible. And I've gotten good at telling my learning coaches and my students, when I say, where's your learning coach? And, you know, she's outside smoking a cigarette. Well, she has signed a paper saying she'll be in here. So we need to have her in here. You know, and I've learned to tell them that my time is important too. I'm here to help you, but you got to do your part to help yourself.
It's true. And that's been my biggest advice to newbies, is to remember that, yes, this is a school choice. And yes, this, we kind of have to find that balance of being something different than what they're getting in a traditional school. But this is still a school and we're still the teacher. And this is still our virtual classroom. This isn't our virtual classroom and the learning coach's virtual classroom or the kids' virtual classroom. This is our virtual classroom. And we are sharing it with these students and these kids, but it's not theirs. It's, we're the teacher, and we still need to have that authority to run our classrooms the way that we see fit and in the best interest of our kids.
And all of us have our own jobs.
Yeah.
We have our job as a teacher. They have their job as a student. Learning coaches have their job. You know, I'm not in their house. I can't go to the learning coach and say, this is how I would do this unless they ask me, but I can say, this is what they got to know.
Yeah.
We all got to get there.
Yep. I'm like, this is my classroom and this is how we're going to do this assessment. And we need a, I need your mics and webcams on. Like, I'm not going to, and that was something that just kind of popped out of my mouth during the last TGA in early February on the 3rd, is I said, I can't accept your TGA if I can't see and hear you. So you can do this, but I'm going to delete it. So if you want credit for it, I got to see and hear you. So, and then that mic and webcam turned on. So I knew it would. I just knew it.
It's amazing.
But yeah, it's crazy. And so I'm proud of you and all that you've accomplished. And you should definitely be proud of yourself. I know I am. I do miss you. And I'm
miss
out
you too.
But it's hard to say that you couldn't, I don't know how to say this. You could connect with anybody. Like, you're always going to have a great team because you're just a great person. So, yep.
Appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Wow, right? That's a legitimate feeling. I feel that every single time I talk to a teacher, and even after I've listened to the conversation maybe once or twice more after the original one, I'm like, yes, I always get something more out of the conversation. And what I got out of this conversation, I'm going to say conversation 20 more times, okay? But what I got out of it the most was how to watch ourselves and to have that permission to watch ourselves and make it an effort to, a priority to, I guess is a better way of saying it. And then watching each other, just getting those snippets, purposeful getting those snippets. And what I think would be really amazing is if we were all purposeful in that. Meaning, like, if K-12 teachers collaborated together, and maybe there's a folder of a whole bunch of, like I mentioned earlier, those recordings with an Excel in like SharePoint or somewhere, I don't know, where we put all those recordings, and just like third grade, fourth grade, or, you know, elementary in general, because the lessons I teach could be down to second grade and up to fifth grade. It just depends on the standard and what I'm working on with those particular groups of students. But, you know, that's an idea. And I say K-12 because I don't know if legally we can share other things outside of our organization, especially if we're using like their curriculum. It might break some copyright laws. You know, I don't know, but it's an idea and something I'm going to throw around out there. If anybody knows the answer, you know, DM me on Instagram or just contact me some way. But that's an idea, right? That would be really cool to be able to watch like the virtual MS teacher or virtually inspiring lessons or the educating muggles. Like, it'd be really cool to get to watch them teach their best lesson every now and then, like just throwing it in and getting to watch them for a little while. So that's an idea and one I'm going to pursue and see if we can make it happen. If you're into that idea, let me know. If you're not, then, you know, don't. So, but thank you all so much for listening. Look forward to Monday's mini Monday PD, where we keep going through the Handbook of the New Art and Science of Teaching by Marzano. And I hope you have a lovely weekend. And yeah, thanks so much for all that you do. Remember to be brave, take a risk, but above all, have fun. See you next time. Bye.